After worship, people will sometimes tell me, "Pastor, your sermons seem to be directed directly at me." Usually that's a favorable response. But I doubt that anyone wants to hear a sermon about church conflict and feel that I'm directing it at them. I seriously considered this morning, seriously, setting up a full-length mirror right in front of me so that I can look into my own eyes and preach to myself, which I did this morning at home. This is Paul's advice to Timothy, if you will remember, when he says, "Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Preaching is for the preacher, too. Please don't feel like I'm directing the sermon at you. Know that I am, as I am to myself, and to everyone who would be open to the words of Jesus. This text from Matthew 18, our appointed text, appointed by our lectionary, is a beautiful path forward to a loving, trusting, harmonious, and joyful relationship with everyone. Ken Sandy, the author of the classic book, The Peacemaker, which I highly recommend, he says, like the bumper sticker in the 70s, conflict happens. It happens in every church, but he says, conflict is always an opportunity to glorify God. Conflict is always an opportunity to glorify God. Such powerful words. Because on this side of eternity, we are still sinners. Every one of us, that's to be certain. The body of Christ is also very diverse. We often have very different ideas and opinions. Have you ever noticed that? And so Jesus anticipates conflict by his words. He knows that his beautiful bride, the church, will have conflict. And so he gives practical advice, some of the most practical words of all of Scripture, on how to move forward toward peace and reconciliation. If another member of the church sins against you, Jesus says, go and point out that fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Step one, show that person sin in private. Don't triangulate. Don't complicate things by gossip. Go directly to that person, Jesus says. Give that person an opportunity to explain themselves and ask for forgiveness and show their repentance in a way that makes them feel safe and not cornered. Oh, and before you go running into conflict with a pointing finger, consider whether or not it is truly a sin. Is it a misunderstanding? Is it simply two personalities colliding? Could it be that the grimace upon his face was because he just took a sip of an icy freeze? True story. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is a glory to overlook an offense. Not every hill is worth battling over. The only hill worth battling over and dying over is Calvary. And Jesus has already died there for the sins of the world. If we choose to point out a person's fault, Jesus tells us to do so when the two of you are alone. Such wisdom. It's a teaching moment for all of us. And consider the golden rule that we just heard read about in Scripture. How do you want to be shown your faults? Publicly? In humiliation and embarrassment? I doubt that. We are to love as we would want to be loved. That is the golden rule, which leads us to protect not only my reputation, but the reputation of my neighbor. And did you see the words that Jesus so skillfully chose? He says, your goal is to regain or win that sister or brother. We do not enter conflict to win arguments. We enter conflict to win friends in Christ. Conflict should be a safe place where we do not fear attack, but simply humbly face our own faults and failures and brokenness and sin in the comfort of genuine Christian love. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Conflict glorifies God when it builds trust. It builds love and adds to the Christian family. Jesus says step two is to bring along one or two others. This is the importance of accountability. We can all learn how to proceed in our relationships with more love toward reconciliation. Think about the kind of person that would be to bring along. The person is not someone who takes sides or has already been offended by one of the parties. It should be someone who has the maturity to listen non-judgmentally, prayerfully, and whose joy it would be to see the two reconciled. If that does not work, step three, take it to the church. This may be going to the pastor, the elders, the church council. The stakes get higher. And hopefully that will soften people's hearts enough to begin to search the archives of one's soul. The last step is my favorite. Bear with me. Treat them, if they do not listen to you, as a Gentile and a tax collector. Does this mean we treat others with xenophobia? Contempt? That we excommunicate them? No. This is the punchline of one of Jesus' best jokes. Who is the tax collector in the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew, the author of the Gospel of Matthew. And how did Jesus treat him? With patience and love and acceptance. And how did Jesus treat the non-Jews, the Gentiles, throughout the Gospels? He broke down barriers. He crossed boundaries freely. He challenged the Israelites because of their prejudice and their racism. And he came to give his life for the world. So what does it mean to treat others who are unrepentant as tax collectors and Gentiles? You treat them like a mission field. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. We need to go to square one with people. And even ourselves, we need to go right back to the beginning of all things and make sure we understand this thing we call the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's what Scripture calls, that we just saw earlier, the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation with God and one another. And let me say something about the power of humor and why I believe Jesus uses it often. And I'm talking about good humor. It builds other people up. It does not tear people down. It gives us permission to laugh at ourselves and not take ourselves and our offenses so seriously. Because we do not need to. You already know I'm a sinner. And I know that you are as well. We should be able to laugh at that because we have the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The joy comes in knowing just how ridiculous and outrageous the love of God is for us. And that's it. It's all about understanding the gospel. Christ came to save sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all need forgiveness. We need acceptance and love. God has forgiven us. And we should forgive one another as we have been forgiven. Church is not a weekly Sunday convention of the perfect. If you haven't noticed, we are the first responders in the storm of conflict. And Jesus is with us. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. That's not just an excuse to have a Bible study because two people showed up. It's a promise that Jesus is present in the midst of conflict. He is there to make sure the gospel does what it promises to do. And so, we have been reconciled. We will be reconciled. And he'll get the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.